Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Last week we looked at the power of prayer, and Paul prayed for spiritual wisdom for the people at Colossae, that they be filled with the knowledge of his will, and he prayed for spiritual discernment. And this filling, Paul's not praying for just a little bit, he's praying for full knowledge of God's will. And the purpose of that filling, and we'll get into a little bit more of that today in this sermon, Strength in You, so that they could walk worthy, pleasing God. And ultimately, if you boil down the Christian life to one thing, it is pleasing God. That's our whole purpose in this life. And pleasing God encompasses a lot of different things. And that they would grow spiritually, producing fruit. And the gospel is still producing fruit, not only in us, as we begin to understand the fullness of God, but as the gospel is preached by you guys and gals out there. And I know sometimes people won't accept it. We have to realize that that's a possibility. But do know that sometimes you witness and they're going to respond. So this strength in you may be a little misleading because it's not about the strength I have. But this strength in you we'll look at today. First of all, God gives us power. God gives us power, verse 11. And this is God-given. Being strengthened with all power. Look at this. Being strengthened with all. Paul's using these words all, full, complete, all through this first chapter. And he says, being strengthened with all power. That word is pos in the Greek language. And that really refers to a completeness. So once again, Paul is praying that they be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Being strengthened, dynamo, which is almost like the word dynamite in our language, but it is the potential to exert force in performing some function. So if you're going to, as we left off last week, going to walk worthy, pleasing God, bearing fruit, there has to be something given to us in order for us to do that. Listen, we cannot do this Christian life on our own. We do not walk in isolation. We do not walk with our own power. But Paul says here, being strengthened with all power. Think about weightlifters and the massive weights that they can lift. That doesn't happen overnight. They build their bodies up. They build their bodies up so that they're able to reach that point where they can lift 300-400 pounds above their head. Another one that I like is a boxer. He does all types of training. What is he trying to do? Well, he's trying to build up endurance because most fights now go 10 or 12 rounds. He has to be able to endure that over a course of a fight. And Paul says, look, in order for you to walk worthy and you to follow God, there has to be something taking place inside the believer. Again, let me stress this. We do not live in our own power. Acts 1:8 says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The day that you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the very day, the day that you repented of your sin, you asked Christ to come into your heart, at that moment, God gave us the Holy Spirit. That Spirit never leaves us. When a believer is born again, that Spirit is in there, and guess what? That is the power that propels us to be able to live this Christian life. And it's difficult at times, but let me give you another verse, Romans 15, I believe it is, yeah. May the God of hope fill you, and there's that word fill again, with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You do not have to live this Christian life in your own power. And that's exactly what Paul's praying here. He says, being strengthened with all power, and it flows from God, dunamis. Now, that's the word that we get for dynamite. This word, with all power, to cause someone to have the ability to do or experience something. Ian McNaughton, in his commentary, wrote this, only in the strength of Christ, absolutely true, only in the strength of Christ can believers be faithful to their heavenly calling. Therefore, they need to be strengthened with the Lord's might. This flows from God to us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. From the Greek word used here comes our English word dynamite, dunamis, dynamite. And the other one was strengthened, which is a cousin of dynamite, which means that God is really building within us the ability to live out this Christian life. Paul chose his words very carefully. Paul prays for the divine supernatural power which God provides to enable the believer to be faithful to his will and to finish the race. And I know in your lives, there's times when you get tired, you get frustrated. I get that, I understand it, but we do not live in a without any type of ability to go forward, putting the next foot, and continuing on the path. This week, Thursday, I was talking with my brother, and he said when Pawpaw Frazier, he blew up landscape so that they could make mines. And my brother said he does remember. Of course, my grandfather died when I was 5, so I have very limited. John's 3 years older than me, so he would have been 8. And Pawpaw Frazier took him out there, and he said, I'm going to let you detonate this. And my brother said it was so cool because he gets to blow up a side of a mountain. So he hit it down and it blew up. And I guess grandparents weren't as protective back then. I don't know. But anyway, it's according, this being strengthened with all power does not flow from us. Listen to this. According to his glorious might. And the question is, what is this glorious might? Well, the glorious is doxa, which refers to the quality of being splendid or majestic in appearance. Can you imagine someday, think about this, someday we are going to see God in all of his glory. What is that going to look like? I don't think they can come up with a movie that can picture the splendor and the majesty of God and the cherubim flying around the throne of God, and it's going to be unreal. Well, this is where the power flows from. It flows from that very throne of God down into us to give us the power and the ability to live for God in this very dark, fallen world. When you guys and gals go out this morning, you're in a land of darkness. You're in a land of darkness. This word might is kartos, which means the power to rule or control. One of the verses that I really like, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. You know what? The power that we have living in us is greater than any power that is in the world. This is what we have. And sometimes we get in our lives and we go, God, I can't do this. Let God empower you to do this. And I know there's difficult circumstances in our lives that sometimes challenge that, but I want you to leave here today knowing that you have the power of God in you to overcome any situation in life. And we got to start trusting that. I think it comes down to a trust issue and a recognition that I don't have to do this by myself. The other wonderful thing that God gives us, not only the power, but he gives us that. We're encouragers, folks. We encourage each other. When one of our fellow believers is struggling, guess what? We come alongside and we help them. That's another great thing. So not only the power within us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of this empowering? You're going to love this and you're not going to like it. Kind of a mixed bag. For all, there's that word all, full, complete. Listen to this. For all endurance and patience with joy. Hupomena. Hupomena is all endurance, meaning, yeah, when I was looking at this, I was like, yeah, okay, I got it. The capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. The capacity to bear up under difficult circumstances. Richard Mellick, in his commentary, wrote this, endurance is the capacity to continue to bear up. I think I just said that, but he agreed with me. Generally in Scripture, this word refers to the events of life which must be endured. Let's do some pastoral thought here for a second. What kind of things in life do we have to endure? One of the hardest, they say, is the loss of a spouse or the loss of a loved one. Everybody in this room has experienced it at some point. And those are difficult moments in life. What about another one? What about physical problems? As I've gotten older, I've started to realize what that actually means. Some people, and I've seen this through my years of ministry, some people live with chronic pain. And they have to endure that. How do you endure that? What about spiritual difficulties? What about financial difficulties? Just everyday life that goes drip, 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 drip on us. And have you ever had those moments in your life when you go, no more, please? Have you had that? I know, I bet you, everybody in this room has had that moment where you go, oh, really, God, come on. Well, what about being made fun of for your faith? What about being persecuted for your faith? It was really encouraging to me to learn that Iran is the fastest growing evangelical field in the world. So that was really, really encouraging. What is needed for endurance? This is the one you're not going to like. It's the word patience. The word patience. A state of emotional calm, and I'm just going to read it to you from the Greek language. A state of emotional calm in the face of provocation or misfortune. What's the first thing that you want to do when a difficult circumstance or situation comes along? Right? I don't know if Holly remembers this, but years ago, when we were in Moments, I took the girls to see the Braves game in Chicago, the White Sox, not the Cubs, so I don't want to offend anybody, because how many White Sox fans there are. But the Braves were up in the game. We were sitting, do you remember this, sitting right on the side of the Braves bullpen? And it got to the ninth inning. And the Braves had a comfortable lead until one of their pitchers decided he was going to walk the bases loaded. A guy hit a double in the gap, cleared the bases. Now it's down to one run, and I'm like this, and I look down, and there's a guy in the Braves bullpen, John Smoltz. I think he's a Hall of Famer now. John Smoltz is loosening up in the bullpen to come in and put the fire out. And I'll never forget I can't remember the guy's name, but he looked up at me and he went. Because I was getting a little worked up. They're going to lose this game. Get that bum out of here. He's not pitching well. John Smoltz came in and shut the door. And I'll never forget that. He's just going like this. Just calm down. Now, Aubrey's seen me in full glory when I'm banging my chest. But listen to this. Patience is a state of emotional calm in the face of adversity, in the face of trials, in the face of the onslaught. Now, we love that word, don't we? Patience. Just be calm. Be calm! What are you talking about, be calm? Yeah. It is difficult. I'm not going to lie to you. Paul writes it this way to the church at Rome. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. That's a great triad. And then not only this, listen to this. Not only do we have to endure it with patience, but we're also supposed to be joyful about it. Now, I told you, do you like the first one, the endurance? The last two, kind of difficult to get our minds around. Chara, which means a state of gladness and joy. This is how it looks. Thank you, Lord, that the world's crashing in around me. Where does that come from? Where does that type of attitude come from? Where you can be facing all kinds of things and you just go, where does that come from? That does not come from you, and it doesn't come from me. That comes from the power that God gives us to endure the difficult situations and trials and hardships that come into our lives. When we are fully surrendered to that, go ahead, what else? Don't say that. Yeah, I don't want to challenge that. That is a little rough. You know, James wrote it this way. It's a good verses to remember. James wrote it this way. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Okay, God, give me the ability to smile. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. There's that all-encompassing again, right? So it seems to me what Paul is driving at here, he's saying, look, God is giving you the power that you need to live this life against adversity, and if you will trust that power and rely on that power, you will be able to power through the situations. Oftentimes, I flunk. Sometimes, I'm good. Sometimes, I flunk and I need to be reminded I'm preaching it to myself right now. Most of the time, we want to exit when difficulties come. So, he's setting this up to say, look, I'm going to give you the power, and you're going to live it, and you're going to be able to do what I tell you to do, if you allow it to control your life. I think if I said it that way, I think that's a pretty good translation. I'm going to strengthen you, and then you're going to endure with patience and joy anything that comes along. Because look, God sees, we don't know what's coming next week. But you know who does know? God. God knows. And so as we live our lives, these little holes in the road, you know, they need to fix Champagne. That is ridiculous. Some of those potholes, I mean, I'm playing dodgeball with those potholes. They need to fix it. And that sometimes that's why I say, God, you need to pay this thing over. I don't like this. God gives us his power, and our response is we praise him. Give thanks. Giving thanks to the Father. Eucharisto. Eucharisto. To express gratitude for blessings or benefits given to us by God. I think a spirit of ingratitude is the first sign of a spiritual issue in your life. When you are not thankful, that speaks volumes about where you are spiritually and where I am spiritually. What blessings has Paul already mentioned in these first chapter? We're under God's grace, verses 2 and 6. You guys and gals do know, realize that when the Holy Spirit comes in, you live your entire Christian life under God's friendliness. Sometimes he has to discipline us and those types of things, but I want you to understand that you are under God's grace. He loves you. And the things that happen to us, God allows. And he allows it for a purpose. And we have to decide whether we're going to trust him to carry that purpose out or if we're going to try to get another path. Generally, what I've found in my life is when I'm going down this path and I don't like it and I take another path, I get in more trouble. I'd rather take God's way than the road less traveled. What about salvation? Salvation in Christ, verse 4. We are saved. Sozo, God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the dominion of his light. What about, and this is the big one, the hope of heaven, verse 5. For everything that happens to us in this life, to know that someday we will see God in all of his glory makes this light and momentary struggle worth the journey. You do realize that this life is short compared to eternity. And so Paul says, look, you have the hope of heaven. Not like, oh, I hope this, that, or the other. No, it's a fixed hope. It's a sure hope. What about the Holy Spirit? Verse 8, he gives it to us, empowers us so that we can live out this life for him. And again, like I said last Sunday, his Spirit adopts our spirit and shows us that we are, in fact, children of God. What about spiritual wisdom in verse 9? You know, God has given us a lot. Let me see a show of hands this morning of those who have been blessed by God. That's 100%. When was the last time you thanked him for it? An attitude of ingratitude is the first sign of a spiritual problem. And Paul mentions this right on the heels of endure with patience and joy. There's where the rubber meets the road. The next thing he says is, let me read it again, giving thanks to the Father in those difficult. I think that is the acid test of where we are spiritually in our lives. If when we get ready to finish the day and we can go, God, you know the difficulties I've had today, it was brutal, but I want to thank you. Do you know what that resets us? That resets us and gets us out of that situation mentally and focus on God and all the benefits that He's given us. I love this word, and it's so easy to overlook this. To the Father is pater in Greek, and it means this. Oh, I love this. Listen to this. One who combines aspects of supernatural authority and care for His people. That's what pater means. That's what Father means. He has supernatural authority, but He also cares for me and you. Here's a father. I know when the girls were little and they were just starting to walk, I would walk with them, hoping that they stay upright. and this father's right there to protect his child. You know what God gave me this week? We're learning to walk. Just like that father's right there with that child that's walking, guess what? God's right there with you. And sometimes, which is about 50% or 60% of my life, like this, God's right there with us. God is never too far away, folks. He is with you every day. And as we are learning to walk and live our Christian life, He's there, and He's not going to let us get hurt beyond what He wants. I can guarantee you that. I can guarantee you that. Because all these situations and circumstances in life are helping us grow up so that we can walk more effectively. This is powerful. I think this is really a powerful image. We are learning to walk, and God is with us through this journey that we're going on. 1 Peter 5, 7 says this, casting all your care upon Him. Guess what? Because He cares for you. Do y'all realize that? God cares for each one of you today, right here. And there's nothing that you can't tell Him that He doesn't already know. We worship a great God, don't we? We worship a great God. What about this one? Matthew 6:26, another one of my favorites. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them? You guys are more valuable than the birds of the air that God takes care of. How much more will He take care of us in the storms of life? He will. It may not seem like, He might always be late. He's always late on my timetable most of the time. Hurry up, God. Yeah. Yeah. It's very difficult at times. Max Anders, in his commentary, wrote this. Believers please God when they are joyfully giving thanks to the Father for the blessings of salvation. Just as Paul was clear to spell out specific means to please God, which we've already kind of uncovered some of them, he is equally clear about the blessings of salvation for which we are to give thanks. Let's look at the pray acrostic. I even wrote it in the PS note this morning. P is praise. Start your prayer time praising God for your salvation, for the way He takes care of you, for your finances, for your husband or wife, for your boyfriend or girlfriend, for all the ways that He provides for you, how He's worked with you this past week. Start with just praising Him. And then I think this next one's equally important, that is the R, which is repent. Sometimes I think clearing that out is a really good deal. Then the A is ask. Talking to God should go something like this. God, I really need help. Not God and your gracious. The flowery speech was the same thing that the Pharisees did on the corner. God knows your language. Speak to Him in your language. God, I am hurting. God, I need help. God, can you hear me? You don't need a chart. You just talk to Him. And then yield. Sometimes God doesn't give us what we want for our own good. But then, not only that, we praise Him, but there's also an inheritance. There's an inheritance. Listen to this. I love this verse. Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light? Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light? Qualify means to make somebody acceptable. Yeah, again, Ian McNaughton says this in his commentary. To be partakers of the inheritance means that believers have an eternal portion of the riches of salvation. The verb used here means that God enabled man to have a sufficient, acceptable position in Christ. In Christ, believers are granted to live with God, who is light, forever. How do we get this inheritance? Well, you get this inheritance by trusting Christ. When you say, Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. I ask for forgiveness of that sin. I ask you to come in to be my Lord and Savior in my heart, take over my life. And thank you for being my Savior. At that moment, when you mean that, you have the inheritance. If I tried to get this inheritance on my own, I can't do it. Jesus did it for me. And when I trust in Him, I get all the benefits. And this is what Paul's driving at. This word inheritance is the Greek word for kleros, which means given a rightful possession of something. So this is not something that we kind of look at. This is something that is given that we possess. When the Holy Spirit comes in, He possesses us, and we also get the inheritance. You know, when people make out wills, and in that will, they will specify who gets what. It's amazing how families fight over this stuff. But when a person leaves you something through a will stated, you receive that when the person passes on. When Jesus Christ passed this life into death, He left us an inheritance. And that inheritance means that we are now children of God. He obviously rose from the dead, is at the right hand of the Father. We have that inheritance that is given to us. I didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. He earned it for us and gives it to us freely. Oh, man. This is good. This is good stuff. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and are heirs according to the promise. You know, our faith goes all the way. We have Abrahamic type faith. Did you know that? Paul says Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Where'd that come from? Well, it came from Genesis chapter 12, when God told Abram to get out of his country to a land that he will show him. That's the kind of faith that we have. When we believe God, it's accredited to us as righteousness, and that's where we stand. Yes, we're simultaneously saints and sinners. But when God looks at us, guess what he sees? He doesn't see that part. He sees his Son that is in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's called positional righteousness before God. Another really great verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here it is. And into an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. It never goes away, ever. That is promised to us. And I've been on enough, seeing enough people pass from this life to the next, believers, and I know that to be true. Because I've experienced some things. You may not count on the stock market, you may not count on the government, but I can tell you one thing that you can count on. You can count on the inheritance. It is secure. It is fixed. It is there. And he says, you have an inheritance. He's qualified us to share in the inheritance. And of course, of the saints in light, that's hagios phos. That's the two words combined. I just say it this way. God's holy people who live in light instead of darkness. See, this is the issue. Before we got saved, we were in the dark. We didn't think much about God. I didn't think that much about God when I was not saved, and I didn't know him. But then that day, October 12th, 1981, I was in light. And ever since then, I've been trying to walk in the light. Because, not just because I preach every Sunday and I'm a pastor and all that, I just know that the darkness is real just as much as the light is real. There, you can question a lot of things in life, but this is what I don't want you to ever question. That God loves you, he's with you, he said he's going to take you to be with him, and he will, and it's going to be glorious. You need to nail that down and never question it. And that's not just because I've said it, it's right here. We've been looking at it. Let me wrap this up. First of all, God gives us power. He gives us that power so that we can endure hardships. Number three is this. Number four, sing his praises. God inhabits the praise of his people. This last one, I just spent 15 minutes on this one. Heaven is promised. I hope you guys and gals have a great week.